to see what you see in me. Too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings, your blessings on me.
You don't understand.
Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. Hallelujah. I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings, your blessings on me.
You don't understand.
Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror. Too close to the mirror. Too close to the mirror to see what you see in me.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
You have Psalm number 118. I just got the title, so I wrote it down. Amen. Amen. Psalm number 118. When you have it, say, I have the word. And I'm ready to receive it. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Verse 13, thou shalt thrust sore at me and I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. We want to use for a thought, a title, a tag, or a topic here this morning. Call him and he will answer. Amen. Call him and he will answer. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. This particular psalm, Psalm 118, it is a psalm that has been written arguably by several different people. Think that several different folks wrote this. They don't know which one it was. But what we do know is that it was written post-exile. What I mean, it was written after Nehemiah and the children came back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the wall. This psalm was sang mostly during the time of Paschal season, or during the time when it comes to the Feast of Tabernacles. Why is that significant today? Because today is what we would call Pentecost. All right. So if it's Pentecost, then we have after the day of Pentecost, you have the Feast of Tabernacles. That is the time in which this song, this psalm would be sung. And it's significant because this is probably most likely one of the songs that Jesus sang right before he was betrayed. Amen? This psalm is called one of the Hallel psalms, meaning the celebratory psalms. Hallel means to celebrate. And so it is a celebratory psalm, meaning that from Psalm 113 to 118, this psalm was used to celebrate. It was used to talk about the victories and the power that God had given his people. Amen. This psalm also is what we call an envelope psalm. In other words, the verse that it starts out with is the same verse that it ends with. Just in case you don't want to stop singing, you can start over again. Amen. Amen. This psalm was called it was a psalm that is just like what we do. It's a call and response psalm. In other words, whenever the priest would call out or the choir would call out, the congregation would call out. This is an all-inclusive psalm. This is not a psalm just for certain people or particular folks, but this psalm is for everybody to participate. Amen. Amen. And so this psalm, when we look at these psalms, we understand that the psalms, the book of Psalms is the most read book in the Bible. It is the most read because it can relate to anything that you're going through. If you're angry, you can find something in the psalm. Amen. Amen. If you got haters, you can find something in the psalm. If you're sad, you can find something in the psalm. If you need prayer, you can find a prayer in the psalm. If you need a song for your heart in your night season, you can find a song in the psalm. In other words, this is like medicine to our souls because it soothes us as we go through. Now, I understand, as I've gotten older, I understand why the Psalms were so important to my elders. When my grandmother and all of them, when they would open up the book, the Bible, they would open it up to a psalm, and they would just let it lay open in the house because it was important to them. Amen? And so the psalmist in Psalm number 118, as I said, we don't know exactly who wrote it, but we understand that whoever wrote it, they wrote it because they had something that they wanted to express and share. Amen. This is a psalm of exhortation to praise God for his mercy. You praise God for what he's done. You praise God for what, a lot of times we praise God for what he has done for us. Well, we need to praise God for what he didn't do. Amen. Because somebody know. Amen. Because we haven't been what we should be. We ought to praise God that he didn't let us die in the way that we were. Amen. We ought to praise God that he didn't punish us according to what we have done. So I thank God for what he didn't do. Oh, he said praise God. And we ought to praise God for his mercy. What is that? Mercy is when you deserve something and God say, I'm not going to give you what you really deserve. Oh, yeah, that's God holding back his wrath. That's God holding back his hand of judgment. So we ought to at least thank God and praise God that we know, and you know you didn't wake up this morning all right. You know that you didn't go through the week all right. Come on and say amen. You know you fussed, you cussed, you lied, you talked, you gossiped. Oh, come on and say amen. Here, some of us did a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. And God still allowed us to be here. So at least the least that we can do is give God some thanks for his mercy. Oh boy, I'm going uphill today. The first verse of this psalm, look at this. I like the way it opens up. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, because we got to understand God, he deserves thanksgiving. And thankful people or grateful people are the people who we would call the blessed people. Because the more you thank God, the more he blesses you. The more you thank God, the more he answers your prayer. Yes. He said that we ought to give thanks unto God and with thanksgiving make our requests known unto God, right? But look at this. He says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. The first thing that this psalm calls us to do is to praise God. He said that his mercy endures forever. Now, we got some stuff that we man make that is not forever. Amen. And in other words, when a man makes a card nowadays, he does not make a car so that it would last forever. He makes a car so that it would last 7 years, so that after you paid for it and you think that you can save a little money, it starts to give you a lot of problems. Preach. He makes a cell phone, amen, that when you use that cell phone after your year and a half and it's about time to renew that contract, that cell phone goes to acting up so that you can get a new cell phone. But God does not make anything that he does not intend on keeping around. Amen. The fact that he made us, oh, come on and say amen. The fact that he's given us, made us a living, breathing soul, it says that he intends for us to be around forever. And he's given us the opportunity to make a choice to have eternal life. Oh, so somebody said here, he said, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And the word endure suggests that it may have to go through some stuff with you, but it's going to be there with you while you go through. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, the word endure says or suggests to us that even if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, his mercy will endure. And oh, come on and say, man, his mercy, like David said in Psalm 23, he said, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What does that mean? That means that sometimes I go in places and do things and say things that I should not, but his mercy endures. Sometimes I don't act right as a Christian, but his mercy endures. Sometimes I cuss, fuss, and lie, but his mercy endures. Praise him. Praise him because his mercy endures forever. Let's go on to verse 2. He says, let Israel now say that his mercy endured forever. First he says Israel. Then he says, let Aaron, the house of Aaron, which is the priesthood, he says, let them say his mercy endured forever. And then he said, let them now that fear the Lord say his mercy endured forever. Now, verse 2 through 4 tells us something. Verse 2 through 4 tells us that this psalm is calling us to a public praise, a priestly praise, and a personal praise. Preach. In other words, he's telling us that we ought to be ready to praise God publicly. That we ought to be ready to give God his worth publicly. Amen. He's worthy of the praise. It tells us not only that, but don't think, preachers, because we in the pulpit or because we preach the word, that we don't have to give God the praise that he's due. Because I've been places and I've seen preachers and I wonder, I say, how in the world could you say you serve God and nothing moves you? They sit there like a statue, legs crossed, with looking, picking their fingernails while worship is going on. And I'm thinking, how in the world can you sit there and look like you look and you're not moved by the praises of the people who are praising the Almighty God? And the Bible says that in his presence, or when we praise God, that he inhabits the praises of his people. So you're sitting there while God is trying to inhabit praises and you can't move. You can't clap, you can't smile, you can't say hallelujah. I wonder if you really, really know the Lord. Is that all right? So he says public praise, priestly praise, but then just in case I miss somebody, just in case you're not of the house of Israel, just in case you're not a priest or a preacher, anybody that's out there that decides to make Jesus their choice, anybody that know the Lord, he's saying, I want you to personally give him a praise. Oh, now you know we've been kind of getting aggravated because people tell us to clap our hands and praise the Lord and stuff like that. Well, you couldn't live in that day. You couldn't live in the days of David. You couldn't live in the days of Hezekiah and Asa and all of those people. You couldn't live because if you didn't praise the Lord, they would wonder what's wrong with you. Why'd you even get up this morning? Why did you even get out the bed if you can't tell the Lord thank you? Why did you even open up your mouth and say good morning if you didn't speak to God first and say thank you for the morning? I wish I had somebody. Praise him first. Praise him. He says that everybody, that's, you ought to give God praise because this is a personal praise. It's personal. When it becomes personal for you, when it becomes personal and you realize God's mercy endures, you don't mind giving him praise. That's right. Because there's a whole bunch of stuff that we should be getting paid for doing. We want to punish people when they do us wrong. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. But what about when you do God wrong? But he said we ought to be praising God that his mercy endures forever. Now that even means to your children. That means to the children that you know you've been praying for because you know they ain't getting it right. His mercy endures to them. Amen. Verse 5 says, verse 5, yeah. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now, this is the part that I gathered the title of the message, and here I guess is where the meat should come from. The Bible says here that he called on the Lord. We ought to come to the place of the house of God to praise, but even if we can't praise, at least you ought to do is pray. He says that, we ought to be able to call on the Lord. And if we can't call on the Lord and he answer us, then something is wrong. Amen. We ought to come to the house of God and pray. I praise God because he answers my prayer. That's why when I get ready to pray, I don't have to always, go to God and go poor, weak, and humble. I can go boldly to the throne of grace and I can get mercy. Amen. I can come to him and say, Lord, I thank you. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't beg the Father to do anything. Jesus walked up to Lazarus' grave and he said, Father, I thank you that you already heard me. We got to be convinced that God hears our prayer before we open our mouth to speak. We got to be convinced that God knows what we need, and all we need to do is begin to thank him for what we need him to do, because he is a God that answers prayer. People may not answer you. They may block your call, may even ignore your call. But guess what? God will not ignore you. God will never sleep nor slumber on you, but God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. He said, I prayed and God answered me. He called on the Lord in my what? Distress. In other words, I was in trouble and I called him. I was in a tight. Oh, come on and say amen. And I called him. I was in a vice. I was in a struggle. And I called on the Lord. I had people talking about me, but I called on. I had people doing me wrong, but I called him. I had some unfortunate circumstances, but I called on the Lord. And he heard my call. But look at what he says. He said, and he placed me in a large room. In other words, I felt like I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. But when I called on God, he gave me some space. He moved some stuff out of my life. Oh, Lord, have mercy in here. I wish I had just a few people that would catch this word. There's some things in your life that got you cramped, that got you crammed up, that's tight, that's pushing, that's pressing on you. And you saying, God, I can't breathe because I need some room. And God takes you and places you in a large room. And the reason why the room is so large is because God began to move some stuff. Oh, Lord, you got too much junk in the room. You got clothes in the room. You got people in the room that shouldn't be there. You got stuff from last year and 24 years ago that shouldn't be there. But God is saying, let me move some stuff so that you'll realize that you got room right here. I wish I had somebody. He placed me in a large room. I called on him in my time of trouble, in my time of struggle. I called on the Lord and he heard me. He heard me and answered my prayer. It's nothing like answered prayer. If you want something to boost your faith, it's not always going to be just the word of God. But if your prayer get answered, oh my God. And then I think I need to ask for something else because my prayer got answered. I ask you what you need the Lord to do for you, because I feel like he's answering my prayers right now. Oh yeah, heaven is an open door to me right now. So you can tell me what you need. I believe I can get a prayer through for you. Anybody got confidence this morning? Have the Lord answered anybody's prayers lately? Come on, tell your neighbor. If the Lord answered your prayer, say, do you need anything while I'm talking to him? Because I know he can hear me when I call. Won't he answer you? I said, won't he answer you? He'll answer your call. He'll answer you in your distress. You can't wait and call everybody else and then say, oh, well, I guess I get a law to try. You better call God first. I got him on number one speed dial. He's the one I'm going to call on. I know you may not be there for me. Oh, yeah, you may leave me alone. But guess what? God will never leave me alone. Oh, come on and shout amen. Oh, we got to understand that God is on our side. We got to learn how to pray here. Oh, he tells us, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Oh, come on and say, man, would turn from their wicked ways. Look at that. He said, my people got wicked ways. Some of us do have some wicked ways. But he said, if we can just turn from those wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven and heal our land. The problem is us. But we got to learn how to call on him. Amen. When I call him, he will answer me. He says that I called on the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me, and he set me in a large place. Look, he didn't say I asked for a larger place. He said, but the Lord saw I needed to get out of this mess. The Lord saw that I needed some room. The Lord saw that I needed some breathing room. The Lord saw that I needed some elbow room. Oh, come on. Don't get mad when people, you don't see them in the same place you are. You just say, the Lord moved me. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. See, you were, come on. They talking about, oh, she thinks she this and he think he that. You need to say, you know what? The Lord moved me. I don't blame you for getting mad. I don't feel like being crammed up. I'm letting you have your time and space, but the Lord moved. Don't get mad when they get to talking about who do you think you are, holy roller. Oh, now you all that, huh? You miss Christianity now. Oh, yeah, yes, I am. The Lord moved. I don't have time for that stuff. The Lord has moved me. I moved on from that. I'm not going to even respond. When people come tell you what they say, I heard, and they say, when they come tell you, you know what you do? Say, I don't want to even hear it because I've been moved. I'm not in the same place anymore. You know what? The good thing about how God moves you is that when the devil goes back to look for you in that same place, he will not find you because the Lord done moved you. Now, the good thing about that is that there's another psalm that says that he's my hiding place. And since the Lord has moved me and hid me in another spot, then the devil, now he got to come looking for me because the Lord, he's moved me. Anybody been moved lately? Have you been moved from your trials? Have you been moved from your troubles? Have you been moved from the presence of the enemy? And the Lord placed you in another spot. He gave you space to move. He gave you a place to spread your wings. Oh, come on and shout yes here. He placed me in a larger room. Gave me more space. Oh, yeah, I'm thankful for the space that he gave me. Yeah, I was in a struggle, but the Lord moved me. I was in some pain, but the Lord, he moved me. Now, see, we always say that the Lord moved, but no, the Lord actually moved us. It's not theologically correct to say that the Lord moved because God is everywhere at the same time. And so it is correct to say that we've been moved. Oh, I was moved by the Spirit. Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and took me in the Spirit and he moved me. Oh, come on and say, John said that I was in the Spirit and the Lord moved me and I got the book of Revelation. Paul said, I was in the Spirit and the Lord moved me and I saw things in the third heaven. Come on and say, man, we need the Lord to move on us for us to move in him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer. He says that I called upon the Lord and in my distress, he answered me. But then verse 6 says, look, after he answered me and placed me in a large place, he said, the Lord is on my side and I will not fear what can man do unto me. Look at this. He says that the Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. He helps me. We got to understand that God gives us, after we get into a place, after we've praised God, and we get into a place of prayer, and that you're confident in prayer, that gives you a sense of peace. He'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. People may not understand how that you have peace today when yesterday you went through hell. How is it that you have peace right now, and just this morning you were being tormented by the devil? Well, here's how it happens. I learned how to praise God. And I learned how to pray to God. And God, now I realize that he is on my side. Amen. How do I get God on my side? Is when you become one on his side. I wish I had somebody. Whose side are you on this morning? Are you on the Lord's side? Oh, come on and say man here. He says that the Lord will give us peace. He will help us. Amen. Look at this. He says, the Lord is on my side and I will not fear. We got to get out of fear and get into faith. We got to move from fear to faith, because in the only way that we can believe or God can do something for us is because of our faith. Remember, I told you, God does not move because you have a need. God moves when he sees your faith. If God did something in your life just because you had a need, then God would do that everywhere. But God is looking for what's like him. He's looking for faith. He's looking for people of faith. I wish I had somebody. And so when God begins to move or begins to do something in your life, is what we call it, move. When God begins to do something in our lives, it is because we have faith. The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please God. He said he that cometh to God must believe that he what is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so I begin to seek the Lord. I begin to praise God. I begin to pray to God. And then I find out that the Lord is on my side. What am I saying? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Everybody ought to be on my side if God is on my side. So I ask the question, whose side are you on this morning? Should we not be on God's side? And that way God will be on our side. He said the Lord is on my side and I won't have no fear, because I know I'm not going to lose. When was the last time you heard of God losing? God never loses. He's the undisputed champion. God is the only one that's never lost anything. We can lose a whole lot, but God never loses anything. God knows exactly what's going on. God knows, and he has a plan for total victory. I wish I had somebody. We got to see here. The psalmist goes on to say here, he says that if I don't fear, what can man do unto me? We be thinking about men all the time. We think about our haters. We always on Facebook posting about our haters. We always talking to people about our haters. We always talking about who hate me and why they don't like me. But you know what? I'm not going to spend time talking about that this week. I'm going to talk about my lover. I'm going to talk about the one who loves me. I'm going to talk about the Lord. I'm going to talk about the one, the only one who can deliver me. I'm going to talk about the only one who going to love me regardless, because people will get mad at you. I don't care. Oh yeah, people will get angry with you. They can say they love you, but then they can get mad and not talk to you for years. But the Lord don't ever get like that. The Lord loves you. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Come on and shout amen here. He said the Lord is for me. He said I ain't got time to worry about what people trying to do to me. So don't come tell me what they're trying to do to me, because the Lord has my back. He got my back and my front. He's got my right and my left side. He's over me. He's all over me. And he's living down on the inside. Y'all with me today? Yeah, we got to understand the Lord. I'm in him. It is in him I live, move, and have my being. Come on and shout hallelujah. Verse 8 says, it is better. Look at this. Verse 7 says, let's go back to verse 7. The Lord take my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. The psalm writer, he's saying this. Basically, let me give you my theology, Al's theology here in verse 7. He's saying that the ones that's helping me, the Lord's going to help you. Preach. Oh yeah, if somebody's helping you, trying to get you to where you need to be, guess what? The Lord's going to help them to be able to help you. Do you know that nobody can help you except the Lord give them the help, except the Lord give them the strength? They can't give you no money except the Lord bless them with it. They can't give you a helping hand unless the Lord strengthen that hand. And so we need to get an understanding here that our help don't come from nobody else, but our help cometh from the Lord. Do I have a witness here? And so he begins to talk about, I pray and the Lord's on my side, and the Lord send other people to be on my side. And not only that, but the Lord help the other people that is on my side. Now, ain't that a successful life? This psalm writer is trying to let us know, how do I have good success? How do I be able to overcome and have a successful life and be in a successful battle and come out victorious? It's if I can pray unto the Lord, because he will answer me in the time of trouble. Look, but we can't wait till the time of trouble to begin to pray. We can't wait till I go through to start praying. We can't wait till I go through until I get down and I have to start praising and praying. No, we need to be already praising God. We need to already have a prayer life. Come on. We need to already be thanking him. Oh, yeah. We don't have to ask for nothing. You can just say, Lord, I thank you. That's enough praise and prayer right there. God, I thank you for what you're doing. I don't need nothing right now, but I just want to let you know I'm talking to you, and I thank you for what you've already done. If the Lord don't do anything else for me, he's already done enough. Do I have anybody in here? He says in verse 7, he said, therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me.